Hey everybody, what's up? It's me, your host, Dangerous ASMR, and we're back for another Drunk and Dangerous. Are you excited to be here? I sure as fuck am, because it's COVID. I may or may not have come into contact with someone who came into contact with someone who may or may not have tested positive for COVID, and so I'm spending a lot of time indoors. And thus, I'm very excited to have something to take my mind away from reality. And thus, we're back for another Drunk and Dangerous. Drunk? Did I say drunk or drunk? I don't know. I'm very high, so yes. The answer is yes. Anyway, what day is this coming out? Oh, yeah, so Wednesday. But what day is that Wednesday? The 18th, yes.
Bear with me. Okay, so are you celebrating, if you're in the United States, are you celebrating Thanksgiving this year? If so, what do you plan to do? Me personally, I don't think I'm going to do the turkey thing. I'm not really feeling it this year. But I feel like doing a feast of some other kind. Like, think about Red Lobster's, like, all-you-can-eat shrimp. Like that. I'm going to buy just, like, a ridiculous amount of shrimp and, like, garlic butter and, like, make a fuck ton of different kinds of seafood and be like, there you go, bitch. It's a fucking all-you-can-eat seafood buffet. I'm down for that. That's way better to me than, like, a turkey, right? Like, it's way better than a turkey. Don't give me that bullshit trying to tell me. I'm sorry, all-you-can-eat shrimp feast? Hell yes, that's going to be my Thanksgiving this year, and that is what I'm going to be very thankful for. My drink tonight is orange juice, grapefruit vodka, and sparkling water. It is a Trump's Tears without the THC orange juice, so that's a bit disappointing, but it is still delicious, and I am vaping my THC per the usual. And also, per the usual, we are going to be reading another wonderful Old for Skepticism worst rated creepypasta reading. Time edition. I'm terrible at this. Anyway, we're doing this thing. I'm reading more of this, and we're all suffering together. And today, we are continuing on our slog, creeping up toward higher and higher ratings as we go. This is four. This is four now. And the next story we are be reading is called, with the rating of 3.43. Your life is a movie. I'm excited. Your life is a movie. It's called Jackass. I'm sorry, I'm talking to myself here. Please don't take offense. But I was definitely talking about you. Okay. Let's see what this beautiful 3.44 out of 10 from 1.77k votes. Your life is a movie. Oh wow, it's literally a paragraph. There's a movie theater in downtown Phoenix, Arizona that only plays movies from 1987. Doesn't seem like you'd have a lot to play. But there you go. If you pay for three tickets and buy a large popcorn, they will play a film that shows you your future. Is it from 1987 that this film shows me my future? Why are all the films from 1987, though? Like, does this also apply to the future-telling films? It's very confusing. If you watch the entire film completely, you will have sleeping problems for the rest of your life. And that's it. I already have sleeping problems, bitch, as do most people I know. The future be scary as hell. So that just sounds like my life as an insomniac. And they have stuff for that now. It's called Ambien. And it's also the reason I have that lawsuit against me for sleep rape. Just joking, rape isn't funny. It was sleep eating. Sleep eating, let's continue. Pass this to the Glacier Canyon. It has been given, oh God, it's very short again. It's been given a 3.54. I'm guessing it's from the same person because the theme is extremely similar. If you travel to the furthest glaciers in the south, it is said you can walk into the canyons of ice there. Okay, Elsa. If you find the junction of two canyons that form a perfect square, you can lie down in the middle there and feel no cold. I mean, X to doubt. If you listen, the ice will speak, and what it says will make poor men rich and sane men mad. I'll write fortune cookie. Really? I'm not impressed. This is the vaguest. Okay, well, hopefully this one's better. The Bambi Project. That doesn't sound like a location, so I'm hopeful. All right, this is an actual story. It has a 3.68 out of 10 from 231 votes. The Bambi Project. Vanna Isabella Osborne was only 2 years old when the tests began. Every day she'd be awoken at dawn by her crazed parents, like, relatable, before being stripped bare and strapped onto a cool metal table. Okay, no longer relatable. No matter how much she screamed and cried, what? Okay. It wouldn't stop her parents from stabbing her eyes. Gums? Why your gums? Like, tongue, hands, feet, and legs with needles full of unknown liquids of many colors. Like an Easter egg, you know? But it's just food coloring in water. It's okay. By the time she was 11 years old, her eyes were successfully dyed a bright orange color. That sounds awful. Though one of the side effects was that she was unable to see through her right eye. You mean she was blind? That's sad as hell. Vanna never really understood why her parents were doing this to her, but by this age, she'd finally gotten used to the torture of being stabbed in the same areas over and over. See, this is why you don't stab your victims in the same areas over and over. They get used to it. Hello, Torture 101. I need a drink. Hold on. I love when people use something as horrific as rape and child torture as a shocking interest point, and yet they know nothing about it and treat it like a joke. That's the best way to go about it. It's certainly not offensive to real-life trauma survivors and doesn't make me uncomfortable at all. Although I really hope no one here was stabbed in the gums repeatedly over and over by their parents for 11 years for, like, question mark reasons. On most mornings, Vanna refused to open her mouth when her parents asked her to, well, obviously, resulting in her father grabbing a scalpel and cutting open her cheeks. Every day I begged to differ, this is not happening. Her face would quickly be mutilated and there would be no point and she would die. So, hyperbole perhaps? He cut open her cheeks. Guess not a lot, because it couldn't happen that much. for stabbing your tongue with a black liquid-filled needle. What's black? Come on, that's definitely food coloring. The next month or so later, Vanna was what? Like, here's what I'm understanding about these bad stories. Why are they afraid to just commit to like a time or like an age or anything? They'll say like approximately or about, and then we'll get these really specific time frames or weights or heights or ages or something. Just commit to it, man. You can say a month. No one's gonna fact check you. It's fiction. Like, you can. It's okay. Commit, man. Just commit to it. Your story is terrible anyway. Just black. You committed to black liquid-filled needle, but you couldn't commit to how it was a month later that something. Okay. Anyway, a month or so. No one could really say. It's really hard to commit to that. Vanna was found in an awful state. Be a young boy. How old? Could say a good few years older than her, and was taken away with him, leaving her slumbering parents behind. Brother, look what I can do. The now 13-year-old, okay, that makes me think of that like old man TV show. Now 13-year-old Vanna grinned a large toothy grin as she managed to climb halfway up the wall. Was she like a lizard? Because I'm picturing a gecko with like sticky fingers. And the wall is like one of those glass terrariums. And she's like, brother, look at me. And he's like, oh, my gecko sister climbed that terrarium wall successfully. That's all I'm thinking about. Hi, yes, you should be if you're not picturing this because she is a 13-year-old lizard girl. That is what the black liquid-filled needle did, I'm assuming. Heh, guess that stuff really did work on you. Said the boy who had saved her, who went by Arsenal. Okay. Are you an X-Man? Like, I feel like this is something 14-year-old me would be like, yeah. Then I go by a badass superhero name. But like, as an adult, I look back and I think, you know, if I did that, I think I would cringe so hard that I would literally like cringe into myself until like became a black hole and I would destroy the universe. So like I shouldn't give myself a superhero nickname to save the universe because the cringe would be too much for anyone to bear. So unless you have a X-Man like superpower, please don't name yourself. Can you turn into a bunch of guns or something? Can you shoot people with anything? Can you make anything a bullet and shoot people with it? Then you can be Arsenal, right? Because you're like a human fucking weapons range. You're basically like mentally a gun for everything. Then you can be Arsenal. You can't just be like, yeah, I'm nobody and I can do nothing special and I go by Arsenal. Also, I shot a handgun once. Like, congratulations. You're so cool. Oh my god, anyway, he goes by Arsenal. Arsenal, otherwise known as Jeremy Smith. Or she liked to call him Big Brother. Vanna shuddered slightly. Okay, they said shuddered with T's instead of D's. Vanna shuddered slightly, the house, one must presume, but still stuck out her now long black tongue at him. Is she Venom too? If this is another Venom Jesus story, I'm gonna become Arsenal. Don't make my emo self emerge. I'll climb halfway up the wall and name myself something emo-tastic. I'll do it. Don't make me humiliate myself. I'll kill us all. Hey, this is what Vanna's saying. Let me see how your teeth are. What are you, the dentist? No. Vanna jumped down and opened her mouth. Arsenal bent down to her level and examined her teeth. So I'm picturing one of those birds that like picks out an alligator's teeth. He ran his finger on them, pricking it in the process. Feed me, Seymour. Well, They're getting sharper by the day. You could tear the flesh of someone's body in no time. He grinned, a murderous look in his eyes. Yes, you could tear the flesh of someone's body. Good! Because then I can get food by myself. Did she not know about the grocery store? Like, literally, Walmart does a thing where they'll deliver food to your house. Like, you know, okay. Well, you know, Corona's affected us all differently. The young girl smiled excitedly, the stitches on her face stretching out slightly. For about 2 years, Vanna had become a cannibal. On top of her long-term post-traumatic stress disorder, or PTSD. Vanna, Arsenal said, making her trail her bright orange eye to meet his. She sounds like she's extremely jaundiced looking. I got you a little present. Her eyes sparkled, and I guess even the dead eye can sparkle. Her eyes sparkled in excitement when he said this. Holding out her arms, she patiently... I'm surprised she has both. I thought, like, since she's, like, supposed to be a torture victim, they'd be like... She held out her stubs, long removed in the robot war, you know. Holding out her arms... She patiently watched her brother place a folded piece of clothing. Him them. I'm sorry. It's just the typo's funny. Holding out her arms, she patiently watched her brother place a folded piece of clothing. Him them. She smiled her usual wide smile while unfolding the item that was placed in her arms. Just tell us. This is awkward. She held it up and raised her eyebrow in confusion. She can't raise the other one? Or just one? Is it like on purpose? See, I'm confused now because she's blind in one eye. Is it supposed to be like a quizzical look, or is it like because her one side is frozen and paralyzed? I don't know with this person. She's got weird orange eyes because of weird goo injections or something. I don't know. Anyway, she had a piece of clothing. It looks pretty big for me, she stated, looking at him again. Well, that's because it's meant to be worn on your 16th. He shrugged and smiled in response. And that's because, she asked in a confused tone. That's for me to know and you to find out, he replied simply. Anyways, I got it for you because I know it has something to do with your favorite movie. Yeah, I see that. Thank you. She smiled simply in response. Before placing down the Bambi onesie. It's meant to be worn when she's 16. Not 16 months. I continued to practice climbing walls like some kind of weird little furry Spider-Man. Brother! Vanna called out in a strained and tired voice. Yeah, tired from climbing the walls and getting onesies all day. What a struggle. The struggle's real. Oh my god, when she heard no reply, she wandered around the upstairs area until she reached Arsenal's door. Hey bro, you in there? No reply. She sighed and opened the door, only to be greeted with darkness. She felt around the wall for a light switch. She finally found it and switched it on. Where could he be? She mumbled to herself when she saw his room was empty. Vanna's eye scanned the room and saw a mess of papers scattered all over his desk. Hey, why you gotta shame a bitch? Before grabbing a page and reading it. The Bambi Project, it read. Day one. The birth was a success. Born at 12:01 this morning. Weighing at 7.5 pounds. Female. Named Vanna Isabella Osborne. She read to herself, her eyebrows knitting together in confusion. Day 2. Father has called me about the project. He's in. He has informed me that the test shall begin when she's 2 years old. I promise to supply the chemicals. I shall receive them from an old friend. Vanna continued to flick through all the pages, overwhelmed with confusion and mostly fear. Once she had finished reading the first few pages, she spotted another bundle of paper and another. Searching through them quickly, she found the most recent one. Day 4,745, year 13. Her teeth have gotten sharper. Her tongue has successfully turned black. I mean, like, I get, how did she do, have this happen and not before this? I think to check on the diary. Like, she basically turned into some Venom prototype and then she's like, maybe I should check this out. Like, you never thought before that? Like, when is the process happening? I mean, I can be pretty lazy too, man, but that's kind of a big deal. Her teeth have gotten sharper, her tongue has successfully turned black, and is now much longer than what it once was before. She's beginning to climb walls. She can now jump a lot higher. She can fight skillfully. Everything is happening according to plan. I just need 3 more years, then she'll reach her full potential. Is that why you got her a Bambi onesie? Her Project Bambi? Why is she in a onesie, though, man? That's weird as hell. I need 3 more years, she'll reach her full potential. Then I can finally take her to him. What, her daddy? She continued to read. She dropped the papers, causing them to scatter across the floor around her before taking small steps back. She was scared. No. Terrified. What did I tell you about coming into my room, sister? The oh-so-familiar voice spoke from behind her. Abruptly, Vanna turned around and looked at her older brother, her hands shaking and tears brimming the corner of her one good eye. Why is her one eye not get tears? That doesn't make sense. That's how blindness works. Your tear ducts still work if you're blind. Who are you? She whispered in a shaky voice.
Vanna, I am your brother, Anarchy.
And she was like, Jeremy? And he's like, shut up, that's my dead name. And with that, his fist collided with her head, knocking her out cold. I'm picturing like a bonk style, like over the head, like caveman with like his fist. Gah! Vanna gasped as she shot up from where she lay, grasping her forehead, which was dripping with sweat and blood. She looked around in total confusion. She was in her room, sitting up in her bed. Dizzily, she stood out of her bed and hesitantly made her way towards the mirror that hung beside her door. Her eye widened in complete horror. Slowly, her shaky hand made its way into her damp hair, staining it with the green, pink, and red substances that dyed her brown hair. What the heck? She exclaimed in shock. Turning to her door, she tugged it open and rushed toward Anarchy's door. He's Anarchy now? Did he change his name? He's more emo than before? Gritting her teeth, she banged on the door with force. The door was pulled open by the person she thought was her brother and best friend.
Why are you doing this to me?
Vanna screamed, tears threatening to spill as she looked up at his cold stare.
Why me? Why me?
Tears blurred her vision, making it seem like she was completely blind. Why you gotta keep going on about her blindness, man? She sunk on her knees, not being able to control the loud sobs that escaped her throat. Anarchy's eyes softened as he saw his little sister break down in front of him.
Why? All those years I've suffered being called a useless test subject, and that was worthless. She managed to say between sobs, it was all your idea.
Yeah, he sighed. Before sitting on the floor next to her, watching her bawl her eyes out.
Why? Just tell me why!
She yelled in a hurt tone that made his breath hitch as he continued to stare at her with guilt and despair. A stare of despair, a despair stare. I can't tell you. Just the Care Bear despair stare. Forgive me. I can't tell you. Just not yet anyway, he replied. Please stop crying, sis. I'm sorry. She just looked at him, tears streaming down her pale face, not saying anything. 2.5 years had passed by. Vanna ended up giving in to Anarchy's plans for her. So here she was, standing in his lab, staring straight at the object he placed in front of her. Why so many strange, random objects? Just tell us.
A chainsaw? She asked, raising her brow in a confused manner.
As opposed to raising it in what other manner? Happy? Brow raising? Angry? Tell us.
What? What I need to use this for?
Wow, you really are stupid. Anarchy mumbled to himself. Wow, you're a...
I can hear you, asshole, Vanna hissed before rolling her eye.
Her one eye, apparently the other now blind, doesn't move either.
And I know what I'm supposed to use it for. I just want to know what I would need, why I would need it.
I have told you countless times that using your teeth alone is not good enough. What? You'll need something else. Oh yeah, she's got those giant freak teeth. Your teeth are just a backup option, he explained, shoving the heavy object into her lap. Now you need to practice climbing walls and shit. I honestly thought he said she needed to practice climbing walls and shit. Like, she has to shit while climbing walls. While carrying it. Into practice climbing walls and shit while carrying it. Not like climbing walls and shitting. Just so you know. Vanna groaned as she stood up with the chainsaw in hand. She grabbed the strap her brother attached to it and flung it across her back. Gritting her teeth, she spat on her hands. Ew. Before placing one onto the wall as high as she could reach, and began to hoist herself up as if she weighed absolutely nothing at all. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. Stupid, sexy spider lady.
Shit,
she hissed at the newly added weight began to pull out of her. That's a strange thing to say. As she continued to proceed up the wall, her foot slipped and she fell. Useless, Anarchy mumbled and helped her up. She glared at him before slamming her hand back onto the wall and hoisting herself up with more force. Her nails dug into the plaster as the chainsaw pulled off her. Reaching the roof, she grinned slightly and reached her hand onto it. Again, she lost her footing and fell.
Fuck! This is useless!
Vanna yelled in frustration. You're obviously not going to get it on the first few tries, idiot. Practice, Anarchy sighed and rolled his eyes. Like, Anarchy, really? Fine, whatever, she responded and tried again and again. Do it again. I think she did.
I've been at it all fucking day.
Vanna huffed and plopped into the chair.
Give me a break.
You need to get it perfect. You almost got the full way across that roof that time with no struggling. Just one more try, her oldest brother explained, smiling down at her small frame. Once more, she caved and sighed. Once again, she stuck her hand on the wall and began... I'm like, she's a venom person this whole time.
I'm thinking of a person, but she's not. She's like some weird venom thing. It's weird. I don't like it. She began to clamber up in seconds. She gazed at the roof before taking a deep breath and grabbing onto it. That's it. Anarchy grinned proudly as he watched his little sister crawl across it and jump down from it. Perfect. Why, thank you, she grinned, baring her large, sharp teeth at him in excitement. She took the chainsaw from her back, placed it carefully on the table. Now, I'm both hungry and tired. Can we get takeout? Sure thing, Shorty. He smiled at her, ruffling her short hair. The venom creature's short hair, good to know. Don't call me that, she hissed, probably actually hissed in her alien language. Don't call me that, she hissed before running upstairs, her head like fucking turning like 360. Not long now, the voice echoed in his head. Anarchy just nodded in response. Be careful around her. I think she's getting a bit too dangerous. I'll be fine. She'll be all yours soon, boss, he said in a cold tone before walking upstairs after Vanna. Vanna sat up in her room, looking out the window in deep thought. Everything was going along fine. Her brother was training her, and the deadline was coming up. She just needed to do one last thing. She smiled, an evil and murderous smile. She was so close. She couldn't wait to drown herself in blood. Their blood. She had a thirst for revenge, and she was prepared for it. Just the thought of finally getting to sink her teeth into their flesh was enough to make her mouth water in excitement. Now she's speaking my language. She opened her window, letting in the cool draft from the outside world. She inhaled the fresh air as it brushed through her short, dyed, multicolored hair. Thank you for telling us. She picked at her stitches that spread across her cheeks. Memory is crashing through her mind like a wave. Don't pick at your stitches post-surgery. She exhaled sharply as she closed her eyes and listened to her mind reply her screams and cries from her past. Hugging her knees into her chest, she let a few warm tears slip from her good eye because her bad eye must be dry all the time.
Mommy! Daddy! Why are you doing this to me?
Her 10-year-old self screamed out in pain, tears slipping from her eyes because apparently they were good back then, and dripping into the gold metal table on which she lay. It's for your own good, Vanna. Oh, this is how Vanna White was born. I get it. Her father said sternly as he prepared the next injection. That's a joke. My lawyer says that's a joke. It's a joke. Vanna looked up at her mother with her pleading eyes. She just sighed quietly and pulled away from her daughter's gaze, preparing herself for another round of agonizing screams and cries. Hold still, her father ordered as he aimed the needle which contained the familiar orange liquid, its orange juice, at her left eye as her mother aimed the other at her right, also orange juice.
No!
Vanna screamed loudly. It's not funny. As a mix, I don't laugh. At the mix of tears and bloods, how could you, animal? Red on her face. Snapping her eyes open, Vanna scanned the room in fear. Her breath hitched as loud sobs crawled out of her throat. She hugged her knees tighter and buried her face into them before crying painfully. She sniffed and pulled her face out of her knees. Tears stained her leggings and her hair stuck to her face. She couldn't control the waterfall of tears that poured from her eye.
I'll kill them all,
she whispered to herself in a strained voice.
They deserve to suffer like I did.
The next morning, Vanna sat at the small dining table, listening to her brother rambling on about the big plan she wished she was never a part of. She found out there were more people involved, and Anarchy wouldn't even tell her their names. You know what he sounds like? He sounds like a low-level, like, trailer park drug dealer. You know what I mean? And he makes 30 grand a year selling, like, meth out of his trailer, and he goes by Anarchy. That's that guy. And he has, like, a Lincoln, but it's, like, 40 years old or something. But he still thinks he's, like, pimp. That's what it's like. She was exhausted. She couldn't fall asleep after her breakdown, which she never told Anarchy about. She hated him. Even just looking at him made her blood boil like a crab boil, a delicious crab boil. I'm hungry. So that's why I'm going to have to dose you up again on the special stuff, he concluded, written by someone who's never done drugs. Vanna dropped her fork and snapped her head up to look at him dead in the eye, but not with her dead eye. She looked him dead in the eye with her live eye. No, she said coldly. Not again. You agreed to this plan, he replied, obviously not happy with the response he got. If we don't start you up again, your abilities will fade over time, and we can't afford that to happen. Anarchy, I swear to God, you can't do this to me. Whack! She was knocked out cold. I'm sorry, he whispered before following the figure which had his unconscious sister. Stop! It hurts! Vanna screamed in utter pain and horror. As a mix of blood and tears, these are always happening. Is it a good face wash? Tell us, Vanna. As a mix of blood and tears ran down her red hot sore cheeks. Red hot, get your red hot sore cheeks here. Vanna's got red hot sore cheeks. It's so stupid. I'm sorry, you guys. Okay, I think I'll understand this soon. Her eyes ached, and her mouth was swollen. Her inflamed cheeks were burst open. Wow. Nice image. Due to the larger injections and the swelling of her inner mouth. Okay, doctor. Tell me more surgical precision. She watched Anarchy. Not the show, you guys. She watched Anarchy as he grabbed the next needle and stabbed it into her hand, making Vanna cry out. She's like, let him do it. Just watch. Like, oh, I should stop it. Never mind. Too late. Wee. She was used to having many needles being pushed into her pale flesh, but after the long period of time, she had forgotten how painful it actually was. Really? I feel like you'd remember that. This hurts me as much as it hurts you. Anarchy mumbled, that's some bullshit. Before emptying the dark purple liquid into her hand, are they ever going to tell us what it is? Is it Gatorade? I'm thinking Gatorade. He didn't look at her once throughout the process, but every single cry she had let out broke his heart. He didn't want to see her like this, but he knew it had to be done. I hate you so much, Vanna managed to whisper before passing out. This broke him more than he'd ever thought it would. Vanna, what are you doing here? Silence. The short hooded girl just stepped into the familiar house. Her mother just looked down at her confusedly. Anarchist sent me over. He said Dad wants to see me, was what she responded with. Her voice was slightly muffled by the black bandana that covered her nose and mouth. Oh, she was worried about COVID. Where is he? He's downstairs in the lab, Angela, her mother, replied, still confused as to why her daughter was there. Vanna nodded before making her way through the hallway into the staircase that led down into where this had all started. She clenched onto the strap that her chainsaw hung from before she began to slowly walk down the staircase, her breath hitching every time her foot landed on each step. She was out of shape. Memories gnawed at her mind once she reached the bottom, making her feel more anxious every passing second. Her hand brushed the knob of the door, making time freeze. Ooh, it's a magical doorknob. This was it. This was the moment she will end it all. Grasping it, she turned it and swung the door open, catching the attention of her father, who sat at his desk, reading through a small leather notebook.
"Well, look what we have here."
Her father, Henry, grinned happily as he saw his daughter all decked out in her gear.
"Your brother wasn't lying when he said you looked awesome in your outfit. This is it. You are the Bambi your brother has longed to create."
Vanna didn't reply. She just watched her father as he talked about how great this all turned out. It's like everybody with their dads, am I right?
"When anarchy first came to me 16 years ago, I thought it was crazy to think up of a plan so ludicrous. But here you are, just as he planned," he continued.
She didn't reply. She just closed the door with her foot before pulling the bandana off her face and grabbing the chainsaw from around her back. "It's pretty great, huh?" she chuckled. Stuffing the bandana in the pocket of her onesie. "That's weird as fuck. I hope you're wearing something other than the onesie." Both her hands clutched to the red chainsaw. "Hey, father." Vanna snapped her head up, her crazed orange eye staring at him evilly. Her mouth curved into a crazed smile. Oh, they're all crazed. As she began to start up her prized, crazed weapon. Okay, not that, but it should be. Henry did not hesitate to grab a small knife off his desk for defense. He backed up slightly as his only daughter began to close in on him. In a blink of an eye, one eye, just one, the live one, the dead one doesn't move. I don't know what it does. Is it glass? Why doesn't it do anything? Vanna slashed his chest open, laughing crazily. She was crazed, remember? As his blood splashed onto her crazed face and crazed clothes. "Am I still useless?" Okay, way to make your murder, like, lame. Right? Being a serial killer is cool. Murdering people while you cry about, like, your needs and your issues makes you lame.
"Am I still useless?"
she cried before slashing his flesh over and over.
"Answer me, you old bastard! Am I still a useless chest subject?"
Her hand plunged into his bloody chest. I felt like that before when I'm on, like, the line to customer service. I'm not condoning violence, but have you ever been on the line to customer service for, like, anybody? And you're on the line for a million years, and you're transferred, and you're transferred, and you're transferred, and you're there for, like, 45 minutes, and you're sitting there, and you're, like, literally putting off shit you need to be doing for this call, and then just out of nowhere, someone hangs up on you. That's that moment where you would do that. Where I would do that. Right there. That's the moment I've been that low, but not normally, you know.
"Why am I so useless to you, father? Why?"
The door burst open, and she was grabbed by her shoulders. Vanna panicked before looking up to see none other than Anarchy.
"Vanna, we need to get out of here," he yelled at her.
Her brows furrowed in anger as she struggled out of his grip. She stood up and wiped her bloodied mouth on her sleeve. "I've waited so long for this, brother," she spat as she grabbed onto her chainsaw once again. "Vanna, we don't have time for this. The filming for Wheel of Fortune's about to start," he hissed in a hurried manner. He grabbed onto her hand and began to drag her.
"No, get off me,"
she screamed in hatred. Is Anarchy Pat Sajak? Is that like the secret? She pulled off him.
"Mother called the police. They're closing in on us," he exclaimed, grabbing her onto her waist and flinging her over his shoulder.
"That was the plan. Don't you get it?" she cried. "I wanted to get caught after I killed you three."
"Not on my watch, you ain't,"
he growled, as he began to sprint up the stairs and out of the house. The noise of the sirens filled the atmosphere as he stepped foot into the outside world.
Shit!
In a panic,
He clutched onto his sister tighter and made a beeline to the woods. "What are you doing, stepbro?" That was just a few blocks away from the house. "Stop it, brother!" Vanna yelled, only to be ignored as Anarchy began to panic more and more as the police cars got closer and closer. "I'm so high, I read it as police crabs." As the police crabs got closer and closer, I was imagining not little crabs trained by the police, but giant crabs ridden by policemen. That's what I was picturing. As the police crabs got closer and closer, this was never supposed to happen. She screwed everything up. Once he was finally made it into the woods, he ran into it as fast as his tired legs could carry him. He dropped Vanna to her feet and bent down to her level, grabbing onto her shoulders. "Sister, I know you're upset and I know you're pissed off, but you've got to listen. You are too dangerous for your own good, and we need someone like you in our group. I was expecting you to do something like this. Now look where you landed us both. We're in a lot of trouble now, so I just need you to cooperate with me so we can get out of here alive. Do you understand?" Anarchy explained, panting from running a long distance. His begging eyes were locked into his sister's cold ones. "Fine," she mumbled. Anarchy grinned widely before standing up and reaching out his hand for her to take. "Let's get out of here, Bambi." That's it. That's the end. Nothing satisfying happens. It just ends. Why not? Honestly, it wasn't going to get better. Can we just acknowledge, like, it was not going to get better? But perhaps... Oh, shoot. I accidentally went backwards. No! Oh, no, I went backwards. I didn't mean to do that. Okay, hold on. I accidentally went back to the website I was watching. Okay, let's see how long this one is. Alright, guys. I'm going to finish this episode today by reading one more of the worst rated creepypastas. This one is called White Room. It's gotten a 3.62 out of 10 from only 21 votes, so maybe it's better than these 10 people think. Let's find out. Estimated reading time, 7 minutes. I'm assuming that's if you're not speaking out loud. So that's going to take a million years. Let's go. The White Room. The subjects awoke in what looked to be a huge room with large mirrors on the walls above. The concrete walls and floor were painted white, very recently too, as some parts were still drying. All three were dressed in white jumpsuits. That's the end of the paragraph. That was one paragraph. Wow, that was not great. The man stood up, holding his head like he had a hangover, and then looked over and saw his cellmates, a woman and a child. He first thought they were mother and child. That makes sense. The woman on her hands and knees was struggling to get up, but the child, who was an 8-year-old boy, helped her. "Hey," the man shouted, startling them. "Who are you, and where am I?" Feeling like she just woke up from sleeping on a concrete floor, she coughs out. Cough. I think it's supposed to be saying cough, but they're spelling it C-A-U-G-H. Coughs out. Cough. Coughs out. Cough. "I know about as much as you, cough, sir." The woman stood up to her feet with help from the boy. "But that is a good question." The man and woman looked at the boy. "I don't know," the boy said awkwardly while averting eye contact and twisting the tip of his shoe on the floor. That was the best case he could make. The man calmed down. "Maybe this is jail or something. Maybe I got fucked up and they brought me in." "Watch your mouth in front of this child," the woman angrily said to him. She reminded both the guys of their mothers.
Yeah, women, am I right? It's okay. I've heard worse at school. The boy told them that, but he also gave off the impression that he didn't cuss, when in fact he could cuss with the best of them. So y'all two got zonked, but I don't know why I'm here. All I remember was walking home after school. You're pretty young to be walking home after school, the man asserted. Hey, I didn't get zonked, all right. I was at my job on a 12-hour shift, last thing I remembered, the woman retorted, as the boys started laughing at her frustration. Ha ha ha, creep. Suddenly, the alerted group turned their heads to the loud sound, like deer catching wind of something. A gate began to open. A dark hole revealing itself. Oh, that's my OnlyFans? Look, I can't afford to bleach it. It's au naturel. Don't ask me to do something unnatural, you guys. How dare you? The opening was rather small. Oh, that's not mine. Never mind. But first thoughts were that maybe it's a way out. Well, in and out. Maybe we could fit through there. You could. We could get out and get... coming. $5 a month. Okay. Four long objects. Yeah, that's about right. Began emerging from the darkness. Yep. Yes. This train of joke just keeps giving and giving. The objects looked like pointy bones with an edge on them. Yeah, the head of those bones, let me tell you. Following them, a large limb reached out from the black hole. They weren't scared yet. They didn't understand what was happening, what was coming for them. The young boy who you will not know the name of. Okay, figures it out first. That was a hand, with claws coming out of its five fingers. It had scales. The reptilian claw grabbed the side of the cage. Then another appeared and grabbed the other side. It pulled itself out of the dark hole and slung to the ground. There was nothing they could do. Their minds too busy racing with confusion and terror to realize what was about to happen to them. All they could do was stare at the thing in a state of what in God's name is that? It stood up straight on its raptor-like feet. In the distance of about 50 yards, everything's about and nothing is precise. Half the distance of the big white cell, it looked like a big man. Literally my Tinder reviews, holding about 10 machetes who'd been burnt to black. For about 20 yards, it was a monster out of your worst nightmares. Also, what? Standing still, with arms stretching out, twisting its head and neck about, like it had been stuck in a damned cramp hole for too long. Damned cramp hole. Stuck in that damned cramp hole. For too long. Honestly, if anyone makes me sleep in a small room from now on, I'm calling it a damned cramp hole. My parents try to stick me in my old childhood room that's like half gym equipment now. And it's like, oh, enjoy your twin-sized inflatable blow-up mattress that deflates halfway through the night. And I'm like, you're gonna stick me in that damned cramp hole. Like, it feels really necessary. Dark black and red scales covered its body. Its head hung at its shoulders, its mouth no wider than a human's filled with sharp teeth. Its arms lowering to its sides, its long claws clanging together. Then the creature's glowing red eyes met the group's. Frozen in absolute fear, not a sound made, not a muscle moved, as the three stood still like statues, unable to make their bodies do anything. Their bodies knew better. See, I don't believe that's true. They could feel themselves being pierced by its gaze. Those red eyes stared into them with absolute joy. joy for what it's about to do to them. So much of this is like, what's about to happen? Whoop-a-de-boop. What's happened? Like, can something happen? The boy was frightened, holding to the women like he did with his mother when he was smaller. He was one of those kids who wiped his mom's kisses off his face because he believed he was too old for such things. She wrapped her arms around him, protecting him. Of the three, the man was an atheist. He always said of God,
I'll believe it when I see it.
In that short moment of dead silence, converting him would have been easy. He was sure that he was being stared down by a demon that just crawled out of hell right before his eyes. The woman was thinking that,
Oh, God!
The creature lunges towards them, screaming at them loud with a deep guttural screeching,
It's coming for them!
Moving at an inhuman speed, their eyes couldn't track it if it had been bee-lining straight for them. 50 yards of space was gone in the blank of an eye. The monster's bloodthirst hadn't been quenched in such a long time, and it wanted to kill them so badly. In a futile move, the man pushed the woman and boy in front of him. He turned around and began to run, screaming and crying harder than the woman and child. Me in any kind of traumatic situation, screaming like a fire alarm. Eee! I'm actually gonna make a fire alarm noise, lest y'all hate me. His mind overflowed with,
This isn't happening. So much so, it was pouring from his mouth, in all caps,
This isn't happening, not me!
The two on the ground were helpless, holding each other tight as they closed their eyes and waited. But the moment they waited for didn't come. Not yet.
Her eyes opened for a glimpse, but nothing was there. A moment of relief was met with another of terrible silence. She turned her head. She looked and saw. 10 feet away.
The man was just standing there, but... No, he wasn't standing. His feet were not touching the ground. Her eyes honed in on the face above the man's head. That face, wait, the face above the man's head? Did he have two faces? That face looked like a big smile. No skin or lips around the mouth, just exposed sharp teeth. Hey, he's got a congenital defect. Be polite. It was holding him up effortlessly with one clawed hand. But there was no blood. Seriously? Like, does he have to have, like, a ribbon on for you to understand that he's got a problem? Don't call him out like this. He just wants to live his life. Jeez, like the woman with the orange eye. Leave her alone. The man was shaking uncontrollably. Staring into its eyes, she could hear him whispering, God help me. Someone save me. The devil's free hand rose up slowly as the man's eyes followed, scraping its claws together, making the last sound he'll ever hear, with a H-E-R-E, lots of this is spelled wrong. God, N, was all she heard as she closed her eyes tighter than before, right as its hand swiped across. She felt blood raining down on her head, and her eyes came open again. The same sight as before, but this time there was no head. I hate when there's no head. Just blood spewing from where it used to be. What was left of the neck was sticking up, puking out filth, with a little white sharp piece of neck bone poking out, separating the flow and spraying it everywhere like a sprinkler. Okay. I see you too have watched Kill Bill. What she didn't see was his head splitting like a watermelon, becoming a red stain in its hand. The creature slung the corpse away after its amusement had faded. She didn't close her eyes again. She knew she had to do something, but there was nothing she could do. She stood up. The kid was scared to death and wouldn't let her go. She pushed him away and yelled at him. Just, and she was cut off. The boy reminded her of her little brother. She was very protective of him. In this situation, she acted out of instinct. In her mind, she was going to distract the creature so the boy could run away, Maybe he could jump in that hole and escape. But the creature, in a movement so swift that not even the boy could have warned her in time, penetrated her through the nape of her neck and out through her throat with the tip of its sharped finger in a come-out-over-here gesture. Solid red trickles raced down the chest of her white jumpsuit. Her lips moved one more time.
Run!
The nail pulled from her throat, and the full set came back with such a force, her body was turned into... The boy initially saw just a cloud of red. Dissapening. What was left wasn't even a body anymore. The boy didn't have a semblance or a single hope of fathoming the horror in front of him. His body went into autopilot, getting up and running as fast as he could. But even if he did survive this, he would never get over something like this. For sure, his well-being was forever lost after this. Wow, there's something called therapy. Have some hope. But the thing did not chase him. The boy hit the corner opposite of the gate where the monster came from, his back to the corner, looking right at it. It didn't move. The creature shook blood and bloody chunks from its knives and started walking back to the gate. The small cage still open, the creature stepped in. The boy did not take his eyes off of it. It turned and looked back at the boy, 100 yards on the other side of the cell. The boy saw the red eyes. He covered his eyes. The gate closed. The boy's name was Zach. Zach was a good kid. He wanted to play baseball, but his mom wouldn't let him start until his grades came up. I feel like this is an after-school special now. He didn't know why he was here. The very last thing he remembered was walking home from school because he lived just a few blocks away. He heard the gates close. He didn't move at all. He stayed put. Nothing happened. He was waiting for someone to come. Maybe his mother and father will come find him. Hours went by, though it was much longer to him. He finally stands up, shaking because his nerves are no longer stable. He walks with his eyes locked on the gate. He can't even begin to gather his thoughts, let alone wonder on a way out. But something caught his eye. He focused as far as he could tell. There was something next to the gate, like a black line. A crack, no. A gap. The gate. It wasn't closed. Am I the only one that has no idea what's going on? I just have no clue. And it's probably because I'm really high. I have no idea what I'm reading. Maybe I'll realize this when I'm editing, but like, sometimes, like right now is the moment, I have no fucking idea what I'm reading. All I'm thinking about is the pizza I'm gonna make as soon as I'm done with the story. I'm sorry, I really am. Oh my god, I'm so hungry. I have the munchies so bad, you guys. You just need to hurry up and die already. In that moment, he didn't feel anything. He didn't feel the puncturing of his flesh. He didn't feel his spinal cord sever. He didn't even feel his insides turn into something you'd see in a blender ad. Really? How many blender ads have blended up intestine? Probably not too many. I don't see a lot. His body was in shock, overwhelmed with processing pain. Just a little movement was left in his neck. He could only look around aimlessly, no understanding of what was happening to him until he looked down. In his blurring vision, he saw 4 long white things that looked like dinosaur teeth, covered in red. 2 of them had grazed his sides, while 2 were going through him. Blood erupted his throat. He choked on it, coughing up what little life was left in his young body. The claws redacted, and the boy fell lifeless like a rag doll. The pool of blood he laid in looked like a mud puddle that he might have played in once a long time ago. I bet the claws redacted. I'm guessing like there's part of the story they had to leave out for security purposes. The claws redacted. And the boy fell lifeless like a rag doll. The murder scene just over. Pool of blood he laid in looked like a mud puddle he might have played in a long time ago, because apparently he played in puddles of coagulating blood. The last thing he could see or thought he saw was his mother. She was telling him to come inside and clean up. What the fuckity fuck was that? I don't know. But I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. I had a good time. I can't wait to eat this pizza. I'm not going to lie to you. I want pizza. What kind of pizza? I don't know. I'm going to make it when I have it. And when I'm going to have it is now. And hopefully I will join you next time. Or you'll join me. I'm not coming to your house. Come over here and listen to this audio. And I'll be back next time. Or won't I? I will. After I've eaten my pizza. And hopefully that will be soon. And I'll talk to you next week. All right. I love you guys. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you then. Mwah! Bye.